the very first challenges the president raised in the first moments of his State of the Union last night were bipartisan, things he said both Republicans and Democrats want to address: criminal justice reform and helping people who are battling prescription drug abuse. Let's take up the second item there. It's well known in the last 15 years or so, sales of prescription opioids, painkillers, have risen by more than 300%. And the number of people dying from overdoses from prescription opioids, or the heroin they then turn to, has also shot up by 200%. And a group of researchers recently wondered, what happens to people who survive an overdose, especially people taking prescription drugs? Their findings, published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, are stunning. 91% of people who overdose on prescription painkillers then get another prescription. Mark LaRochelle is a doctor at Boston Medical Center. He's also the lead author. Dr. LaRochelle, what was the reaction when you and your colleagues first saw your answer taking shape?
You know, we were somewhat shocked and stunned about the level of prescribing after overdose. We weren't sure quite what to expect, but this level of continued prescribing certainly was shocking. You know, you'd hope you'd see after a near fatal event such as this that someone would change course and do something different to try and get these people help.
Well, and you'd also think that people who overdosed on prescription opioids, these are painkillers, that everyone in their medical system would somehow know, you know, but no.
Yeah, so that's one of the things we couldn't tell from this study is whether or not the prescribers who continued prescribing actually were aware that those events had occurred. And we speculate that this is probably a symptom of the fragmented healthcare system. If someone went to my emergency room at Boston Medical Center, I would be probably made aware that that event happened and that they had an overdose.
But because you're a doctor there.
I'm a doctor there and we share an electronic medical record. Mm-hmm. So if someone goes to the emergency room, I get a record of that stay. However, we have multiple emergency rooms in the city, and if someone goes to another emergency room, there's no clear mechanism for that information to get back to me as a provider.
Yeah, and that's, I'm sure, the same in other cities as well. Well, just back up and tell us about the original research that you did. You looked into a national database.
That's right. We used a large claims database. So these were people with commercial insurance. And what we wanted to do was look at patients who were recipients of opioids for chronic non-cancer pain, who experienced a treated overdose event that didn't kill them.
And let's just underscore that. These were not people who were shopping around to get drugs. These were people who had a relationship with a doctor, presumably, and they had ongoing pain.
That's correct, right. So these are patients with chronic pain who were getting treated with opioids. We know, you know, best estimates are that about 1 in 3 Americans experience chronic pain, and anywhere between 5 and 8 million Americans are prescribed these medicines on a long-term basis, which is a large number.
There's
a lot of people.
So you looked at this database of insurance claims, 50 million people filed between 2000 and 2012, mm-hmm. and you found a group, age 18 to 64, who had survived an overdose. And then what did you do with that information?
So from there, we wanted to see what did we do as a health system to respond to this, and are we doing anything different? So we looked at two main issues. One, what happened to prescribing afterward? Were these patients continued to prescribe these medicines that almost killed them? And that's where we saw that 91% did go back to a doctor and get at least one prescription. 70% of them were receiving the majority of the prescriptions from the same provider that had treated them before the overdose in the first place. The other thing we were interested in is whether or not that continued prescribing was associated with a risk of another overdose event in the future. And we found pretty high rates of a repeat overdose.
Really?
Really high, yeah. So for the patients who continued on high dosages of opioids, 17% or about 1 in 6 in 2 years had another event. That was double the rate of patients whose opioids were stopped. But even those who had their opioids discontinued, 8% of them had an overdose at 2 years, which means that just stopping opioids altogether, while better than continuing prescribing at high dosages, isn't enough to help these people out.
Well, sure, if they've become addicted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, we've heard recently, there's headline stories about doctors who have become pill mills, and mm-hmm. they are just handing out medications.
Yeah, we didn't have a breakdown of pill mill or prescribers that are, I would call them outliers, that are prescribing more opioids than others. But I would say that as a primary care physician myself, my colleagues and I, this is something we struggle with on a daily basis when we see patients with pain. This is a big struggle. So we see someone and we're doing our best to try and reduce pain and relieve suffering, but we're also trying to balance that with one of the tenets of medical professionalism, which is do no harm. And our tools available to be able to do that are really quite limited.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things. How do you know? Yes, you saw that this 91% of these patients who'd overdosed went and soon got a prescription right after that. How do you know the doctors didn't know?
We don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So we need more research to understand whether or not this was because the doctors didn't know or because they felt trapped in a system where they had no alternatives or no better alternatives, or where they felt perhaps the pain was so severe that even given the risk that continued prescribing
Was better than someone going cold turkey. But you do know, unless there's a system set up to trigger an alert to the doctor that, as in your hospital, that there had been an overdose, it seems like the only other way that the doctor would know is if the patient told them.
That's correct. And there's really no good reason to think that patients are going to volunteer this information if they have an addiction, if they have a problem with these medications, and their source of getting those medications was this doctor, and they're worried about continuing that source, they're unlikely to come back to that doctor and disclose that information.
Dr. LaRochelle, what's been the response to this finding?
You know, we've been shocked at the level of response. We thought it'd be met with some interest, but we've been overwhelmed with responses from media, but also from policymakers at state and national levels who are interested in seeing what we can do to fix this. I think
it's stunning on its face. It's like,
yeah,
what?
It's stunning, and I think it shocks people to think that healthcare system may be that fragmented.
Well, your study looked at different ways to correct this problem. So what did you suggest?
So there's a few things. One is that we really think that we need to make sure that the information about these events is getting back to the prescribers. And there's a few different ways that could be done. One is potentially leveraging an infrastructure that already exists in 49 states. These are prescription monitoring programs. These were designed to try and reduce risky prescribing. And so what these databases contain is any controlled substance prescription dispensed by a pharmacy gets entered into this database. Yeah. When I, as a doctor, am considering writing a prescription for a controlled substance, I can go into this database and look and see, is this patient getting medications from any other provider that may indicate risk? Really, this is looking for quote-unquote doctor shopping. So this infrastructure already exists, and our thought is maybe we could build onto this infrastructure and add additional information about risk, such as a patient who's experienced an overdose event.
Well, so that would mean maybe that the insurer who would get the claim if somebody checks into a hospital with an overdose, they might then plug into a system which could alert the doctors?
That's correct. Either the insurer or the provider we could make this a mandatory reporting event. We have that infrastructure in place for communicable diseases such as tuberculosis or hepatitis, where these cases have to be reported to the Department of Public Health. So we could mandate the same thing with overdose. We have to be very careful thinking about potential privacy issues. Substance use is a very protected diagnosis, and rightfully so. So we'd have to think about how to balance the privacy rights of individuals with making sure we're helping them when help is needed.
But at the very least, shouldn't, you know, the doctor who has prescribed the medication, you'd think, who already knows there's no privacy issue there, they already know because they've prescribed the medication, should know when that patient has overdosed on it.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. Fascinating. That's Dr. Mark LaRochelle, lead author of a study published in the Annals of Internal Medicine that showed that a huge majority of people who survive prescription opioid overdoses then go on to get another prescription from the doctor who gave them the first one. Dr. LaRochelle, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, just yesterday, an advisory committee recommended that the FDA approve an implant to help people addicted to prescription painkillers or heroin. The implant is called Probufine. It would provide a steady stream of buprenorphine, which can ease withdrawal and reduce cravings and relapses, and is already available in pill form, but addicts have been selling it to buy more drugs. We're going to keep an eye on that development. But meanwhile, we'd love to hear from you. Have you been addicted to prescription opioids? Survived an overdose? Maybe a loved one has. Do Dr. LaRochelle's findings ring true to you? We'd love to hear your story, and with your permission, we may contact you. So let us hear from you.